Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
In 1955, Harry Holt and his wife Bertha were successful logging and timber people out in the Northwest, and at a church function saw a video that showed children in the streets in South Korea struggling to live, and so they decided to make a difference in those children's lives and ultimately adopted 8 children of their own from Korea.
I'm Jim Burns. Well, one recent survey found that 6 out of every 10 Americans have had a personal experience with adoption. That's more than half the population here. Maybe you know someone who has recently adopted a child or released a child for adoption. Perhaps a good friend of yours was adopted. Or maybe this is your story. Well, during the next half hour, I want to talk to you about why I believe that adoption is a beautiful way to build your family. I'm joined in studio today by Kim Brown. He's the president and the CEO of Holt International Children's Services. It's a great organization that helps place kids in adoptive homes worldwide. We're going to talk about his adoption story as well as about our own families. Well, stay with us. It's going to be a great program today, right here on Homeward. From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. In just a moment, part one of a 2-part conversation about adoption and a beautiful way to build your family. It certainly is. We're going to be hearing from Kim Brown, who at the time we recorded this interview was running the Holt International Adoption Organization and has since moved on, but this is one of our classic archival programs. In part two of the program, this is a part one today, and then the next edition is part two, you're going to hear from an adoptee, a woman who's an adult now and was able to kind of retrace her roots a little bit and meet her birth mother. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful story of redemption here. And that's what we're all about here at Homeward. And now, with part one of today's edition of the program, here's Dr. Jim Burns. Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. It's not always very often that I get one of my good friends in with us, but Kim Brown is with us today. He's the president, the CEO of Holt International Children's Services, and today we're talking about adoption, a beautiful way to build your family. Interesting that adoption probably reaches to most of our families. It has reached to mine. Our Christy was adopted 2 days she was alive, and then she came into our life, and it's been one of the greatest experiences of our life. Not always easy, the adoption process, but I'm so glad to have Kim with us, especially at this time with all that is going on in our world. Formerly, he was an investment banker. He grew up in Omaha, Nebraska, after being adopted from Korea. Kim and his wife are parents of 2 wonderful children who I actually know who they are. They were adopted from Korea as well. Welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you, Jim. I appreciate being here.
Well, it's great to have you across. You know, we've hung out together and actually been at the same church and whatnot at times, yet to now have you as the president, a new president, actually, with a great organization called Holt International. We'll talk much more about that. You know, adoption is a great way to build your family. It also, I think, kind of mirrors the relationship that we have with God. You know, I've used the term adoption to help us understand our relationship with God. You're in this full force. I mean, you were adopted, your children are adopted, and now you're running what I think is the oldest adoption agency in America. Is that right?
That's right, Jim. In 1955, Harry Holt and his wife Bertha were successful logging and timber people out in the Northwest, and at a church function, saw a video that showed children in the streets in South Korea and struggling to live. And so they decided to make a difference in those children's lives and ultimately adopted 8 children of their own from Korea. And so it's a long legacy. Holt International is one of the only transgenerational adoption agencies, inter-country adoption agencies in the country.
So isn't that is interesting. Now, a lot of people say, you know, we've been going through infertility. We're struggling with, you know, having a child, but they're a little bit nervous about adoption, and then on top of it, the international adoption side. What's the process if somebody is looking at adoption to just kind of looking into it to actually having a child?
Well, let's assume that there's agreement by mom and dad to pursue this. An application would have to be made, and then I would urge anyone to decide what country they would want to focus on, or perhaps one or two countries they would want to focus on. Many times it has to do with experience, conviction, family experiences over the years, comfort levels. And once you decide that, then I would urge anyone to go and do some research as to which agency they would feel most comfortable with. Holt, the Holt legacy is in Korea. And so Holt is around the world, is known for their ability to bring the process together through the Korean adoption. But Holt is in 14 countries.
Yeah.
But that's the longest running program.
You know, it's fascinating because I have actually had the privilege, you know, kind of a spontaneous moment where I see what I find out are Holt babies being brought into the United States. And they must come into a certain airport sometimes together. Is that the case? Because I've seen people, you know, waiting, family members waiting and whatnot. And it's an incredible, joyous occasion where people have balloons and all this. It really is an incredible experience to go to another country and meet this child that is going to be yours.
Some countries require the parents to come and spend some time in country before the child is released.
Yeah.
China is one of those.
Right.
Korea doesn't require that. So many of the children you might have seen before were Korean. And what they'll do is they'll come usually in a group with an escort or two. And then there'll be a greeter along with the family at the airport. And it's you go from 0 to 90 in just a few minutes after that child comes off the plane, and you're now all of a sudden taking care of a baby. So it's a very emotional but very gratifying experience.
Well, you know, I remember the experience, and we adopted not on an international level, but I remember the experience that, you know, we knew Christy was coming, and then 2 days later, we were able to go pick her up, and we get to our house. And it was this surreal experience. But then Kathy and I said, what do we do now? Because, you know, we hadn't had a pregnancy. We didn't have all the stuff together because we had just found out that this child was going to be ours. And it really is kind of a surreal experience. For the adoptive parents, when they go and visit these children, what is the emotional experience like?
I think before they even go, Jim, I think there's a real commitment by these parents to say, I want to make a difference in a child's life. 1956, I was adopted into a family that was all Caucasian. There were no Asians. I didn't even know if there were Asians in Nebraska. I doubt it. The tri-state area, there were no Asians, but I was there. But what happened was there was a commitment made by my adoptive mom and dad to say, we're going to make a difference. We don't know what that means. We don't know what that's going to change as a dynamic in our family. And we don't know exactly how that child's going to be raised or feel, you know, about living with us. But we know we want to make a difference. And I think what you're alluding to with Christy and you and Kathy is that all of a sudden you realize that commitment now, we've got to put some feet to it. And we're parents. That's our child. We're absorbing that child into our family structure.
Yeah. So you're born in the 1950s. You end up arriving in Omaha, Nebraska, where there were not a lot of Asian kids. Okay. How did that make you feel? And what was life like growing up in a home that where everybody else looked different?
Well, my parents, and I'll give them credit for this, always let me know that I was adopted. I was chosen. And that I really didn't know what that meant as I was maturing. All I knew is that I had a lot of cousins, a lot of aunts and uncles, a lot of nieces and nephews, and I felt loved and part of the family. As I grew older, though, I understood more what that meant. I guess when you get older, the realities come to the forefront. What that means is that some people perhaps didn't approve of my parents adopting a child from a country where maybe we lost some U.S. citizens in the war, maybe a family member even. And, you know, giving an opportunity to a child, I know my mom and dad did not have any clue what it would mean to them. They lost a baby at childbirth just a year before, and so did not want to risk a pregnancy late in my mother's life, and so they decided to adopt. And I was not an adoption through an agency. I was a private adoption, actually. In fact, when Lori and I went to look into adoption from Korea, I asked my mother, my adoptive mother, who should we go through? And she said, you should call the gentleman who virtually picked you out of an orphanage in Seoul. And what had happened is he had been there a few weeks earlier and chose a different little boy, but that little boy died a week later. So my adoptive parents said, could you try one more time? And so he drove up to Seoul to the orphanage, went through those rows of cribs, and chickenpox, measles, and mumps were rampant through those orphanages at the time, and he chose me. Only this time, he took me home. He was teaching seminary. He took me home to nurse me back to health, to get me to a point where I could get on a plane and survive the trip. So I know my parents didn't understand what the dynamics and the changes would be. They just knew they were committed to making a difference in the life of a child. And I think even today, it's the same thing. I believe that people are compelled, convicted, challenged, if you will, to make a difference in a child's life. And that's what they do. Now, who that child is, they leave in God's hands. But that's the beginning.
The words of Kim Brown, who speaks for millions of people who were adopted as young children and are now adults and moving through that process and kind of figuring out who they are and realizing what an overwhelming display of love it is to be an adopted child who's now an adult. And today on the Homeward program, we're talking about adoption. It's a beautiful way to build your family. Dr. Jim Burns and his wife Kathy know all about that because their daughter Christy was adopted, and they just welcomed her into their home right away. We have a soft spot in our collective heart, ministry-wise, for adoptive parents here at Homeward. If you want to learn more about the resources that we have available for you, just go to homeward.com. That's HOMEWORD.com. From the studios of Azusa Pacific University, here's Dr. Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot.
Well, it's impacted 60% of American homes for decades. It's touched my family, and it's affecting someone you know at this very moment. Well, I'm not talking about financial disasters or homes destroyed by drug or alcohol abuse. I'm talking about adoption. Well, I'm Jim Burns from Homeward. My wife, Kathy, and I have been married for over 30 years, and we've been blessed to be parents of three beautiful daughters. The first of those young ladies, our daughter Christy, is what many would call a chosen child. We adopted her at birth. With so many American kids in need of a family and a growing number of children overseas in the same situation, the question for many adults today is this: is adoption for us? Well, adoption is a beautiful way to build your family. It certainly was for our family. And I prepared a tip sheet to help you answer some of the most common questions parents have when they're thinking about adoption. You can download my free tip sheet called Should We Adopt? When you go to homeward.com. I'm Jim Burns. Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns talking with my good friend Kim Brown. He is the president and CEO of Holt International Children's Services. It's a great international adoption agency. We're talking about adoption today, a beautiful way to build your family. So many people have an adopted child or somehow connected to adoption, and there's just a lot of misconceptions and a lack of understanding. Kathy and I adopted our oldest child, Christy, and I remember back then, 26 years ago, there were so many people who had so many questions and issues, and we actually went to a class, Issues in Adoption, and found even special things. Well, today we're talking about adoption. Kim was adopted in Korea, moved to Omaha, Nebraska with his family, and then they've adopted two children. He and his wife, Lori, have adopted two children who were from Korea who are now young adults in many ways. Kim, you know, as we talk about adoption, one of the things that is in all of our minds right now is Haiti. I was on the elliptical. Yes, I every so often do work out. I don't look like it. But I was on the elliptical today, and they said there had been 350,000 orphans, but today there may be 1 million orphans. I mean, that's mind-blowing. There's only 9 million people in Haiti. And I know that Holt has been doing work in Haiti for a number of years, but when something like this catastrophe happens, and there's all of a sudden all these orphans, my natural tendency, and even Kathy said this at our age, she said, well, you know, maybe we should like go get some babies from Haiti. Obviously, you can't do that. You wouldn't want to do that. You need to protect the children and you know, go through the system. But what does a person do in this case? What does the government do? How do you do this? I mean, you just went from 350 orphans, which is horrible, to 1 million.
Jim, that's obviously a question on everyone's mind these days, especially in the United States. I think what in a catastrophe or crisis like that, when this happens in a country like Haiti, it just amplifies what the problems society in their society were prior to it. And what I mean by that is that there was a lot of difficulty. Holt's been there for almost 10 years working, bringing kids into care, and it's been a very hit-and-miss sort of a situation bringing kids back out into their families. That has to do with the government. It also has to do with the structure and just the society in general. What really needs to happen if your listeners want to make a difference is to choose a verified or somebody that has an experience with an organization that's doing relief work there, or you know of their work there, to donate money, because truly this is not just going to be an issue for the next 90 days in Haiti. It's going to be a long-term issue. There has to be societal reforms. The United States State Department and all the governmental assistance will have to decide where they can get involved. Actually, The Hague will probably get involved on child's rights. You have a lot of big issues that are all trying to come together. You heard from people that showed up in the first few days. There was no infrastructure. There was no way to distribute aid. There was nothing that could be done for these people who were literally dying. And that's a similar situation for the kids. Their needs will be amplified as the days go on for food and water. We understand now under reports that many of the families, along with children, are just tagging along with people and going out into the hillsides because Port-au-Prince is so difficult to operate. So they're doing airlifts and dropping food and water in the more outlying areas just to get it to the people. So, you know, the problem is kids are really the most needy in a situation like this. And so donating money to organizations that can really focus on what they're doing there and then making societal and governmental changes, that will make the difference in this country. But it's just really it just shows what was going on prior to the earthquake.
It was complicated before the earthquake, and the earthquake only, you know, made it more complicated. You know, many relief organizations operate child sponsorship programs, you know, which enable kids in the third world to enjoy the benefits of better health and nutrition and education, and actually even sometimes a spiritual issue as well. I want you to talk about what Holt is doing through your child sponsorship program.
We are going to obviously have an opportunity to increase that here in Haiti now. And our sponsorship program is where we're providing food, shelter, clothing, education to a number of children. We also have what's called a family preservation program, which allows families to stay together for a longer period of time, even in the midst or in the face of difficulty, which could mean a loss of a job. It could be an illness. It could mean a number of things, unwanted pregnancies, and it allows them to stay together as a family unit. You know, Holt has a mission, and if you asked a person on the street or who's familiar with intercountry adoption, they'd say, oh, they're an intercountry adoption agency. Well, really, we try to do one of three things. We try to preserve the family together, or if that's not possible, leave that child in country with a family, so a domestic adoption. If those two fail, then we certainly try to find a home in the United States for that child.
Mm-hmm. And it's complicated too, again, because when you have an adoption option, what I just heard you say is that really, if you can get them into their own stable family, help their family in country, then that's going to be really one of the things that you're going to try to do as well.
Right. And you're going to have months and maybe years of children saying, I was separated from my family in Haiti. So now what does that child do? Well, the right thing may not be to take them to the United States. The right thing would be to support that child till they're reunified. Then once they're reunified, obviously jobs have been lost down there. A lot of infrastructure has been destroyed. Keep them together until at the right time they can then be sufficient on their own.
That's great. You got to look at it at every aspect. If somebody was saying, you know, I've been listening to this conversation with Jim and Kim, and I'm really interested in it. I'd like to get more information. What's the process? How long does it take? And I know Roger's been talking about going to the website at Holt International, intl.org. And there's a link on our website today with that. But help us understand that in the closing minutes, kind of what is the process? What do you, you know, this sparks their attention. What do they do?
I would do some research as to what countries you're interested in looking at. Some families, some parents are interested in looking at Africa. There's tremendous need in Africa. Some are interested in China, and some are interested in Korea, any of these countries. And then the internet's a wonderful tool for this sort of research. Look and see which organizations are working in these countries and then contact these organizations to find out what the process is, what the wait time is between application, home studies, and then actual placement. If you're open to special needs or minor special needs children, which Holt's had a wonderful experience for decades placing minor special needs and special needs children from Korea into homes. And we're doing that currently with China. But if those are all issues that you say, as a parent, I can deal with that and I can live with that, and we want a child like that, fits that profile in our home, then you'll find via the internet, I'm sure you'll find some options. I would even open up the opportunity to contact Holt. If we can't help you, we're certainly, we have great relationships with other organizations. Perhaps we could direct you in the direction that you want to go and the country you want to adopt a child from.
You know, Jesus said, when you welcome a child, you welcome me, not just me, but the one who sent me. And I want to thank you for what you're doing with Holt, what you're doing, what my good friend Dean Bruns here also in studio is doing. He's moved from Homeward to there, and I'm thrilled with that, and thrilled with the fact that you're helping children at some of the basic needs in their life. And what an incredible privilege for them to experience kind of what you experienced, to have a family that has nurtured and loved you, and here you are now, the present CEO of Holt. Thank you so much for being with us. You got to come back next time.
Jim, I appreciate it. I'll leave you with Harry Holt's quote, which was, "Every child deserves a home of their own." Thanks for having me today.
Well, I love that line from Harry Holt. "Every child deserves a home of their own." It's a great quote. Kim Brown has been my guest today here on Homeward. We've been talking about adoption. It's a beautiful way to build your family. I know that was the case for Kim, also the case for our own family. You know, Kim was adopted from Korea by an American couple living in Omaha, Nebraska. Now, he and his wife are the adoptive parents of two beautiful children of their own. They actually, at one time, we were going to the same church. I know these kids. They're beautiful. In addition, Kim is the president. He's the CEO of Holt International, which is one of the premier adoption agencies in the world today. I love Holt and have loved Holt long before Kim was even involved with the organization. If you're interested in learning more about the work of Holt International, then I'm going to highly recommend that you visit their website. It's www.holtinternational.org. At the start of the program, you heard me say that around 60% of Americans have had a personal experience with adoption. Well, either they were adopted or they know someone who was. Maybe they've adopted a little brother or a little sister, a son or a daughter. Maybe they were one who released their child up for adoption. Well, some reports estimate that there are as many as 1 million children in the United States living with adopted parents, and there are an additional 500,000 in foster care. Well, approximately 1/3 of those kids are ready to be placed in adoptive homes right now. So as we conclude this edition of the Homeward broadcast, my question to you is this. Do you feel that your family is being led possibly to welcome an adoptive child into your home? You know, that was the question my wife, Kathy, and I had to answer a little over 25 years ago. And you know what? One of the greatest days of my life was the day that Christy was 2 days old when she came into our home. We didn't even know how to hold her, Roger. But what an experience. And, you know, just last night, Christy was at our house and she was sick. And I was thinking back to the fact that back now that she's a big girl, yeah. I can't hold her like that. But you know what? She still wanted her father's care and nurture. Ooh, and it doesn't even come into my mind that she is somehow different than my other children or my other family. And so I think adoption is a great way to build your family. It's not for everybody. And I hope that you'll give it some thought today, because I really think that's what we're called to do as Christians, is how wonderful it would be if Christians would bring, you know, these children who need a place
right.
Into the home. And I know it's expensive and I know it's complicated. And I think Kim's story is so beautiful, but it doesn't have to be your story, but it's a beautiful story. And I think everybody should at least become more aware of the great opportunity for adoption. Roger.
Amen to that. If we are pro-life, absolutely committed to the pro-life movement, then the adoption is a huge component of that part of the process. And today here on the Homeward broadcast, we've been listening to one of our archival programs from a couple of years ago, recording that Dr. Jim Burns recorded with Kim Brown when he was involved in the executive leadership at Holt International. Has since moved on, but the organization's still around and still helping families with international adoptions. And it's a great way to build your family. And if you are an adoptee, if you're an adult adopted child, or if you're an adoptive parent, we hope that you found this encouraging. We would love to get your story. We'd love to hear from you too. Drop us line at homeward.com. You can send that into my attention to Roger, R-O-G-E-R, at homeward.com, and let us know how this program impacted you. And if you'd like a copy of the audio CD of this broadcast as well, just write to us at P.O. Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92690. 1-800-273-8693. Now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.